Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is Duke Machado. It's the 19th of October. Starting to get chilly outside here in Texas. Let me tell you, I just came back from a Dr. Ben Carson book signing here in Waco, Texas at the Barnes & Noble. And I know there were at least 1,000. I don't know if there were 2,000 people, but the line actually wrapped around two large buildings, wrapped around it. It was crazy. People stood in line for hours to get their book signed by Dr. Carson, and I can tell you I was glad to have my media pass. I had a great spot. Special thanks to the folks over at Barnes & Noble and the team that's helping to promote the book for Dr. Carson. Incredible operation. Amazing how many people were there. And a testament to me as a witness there of the variety of people that came to see Dr. Carson. They definitely had an educated feel about them. They were not there by accident. They weren't there to see a rock star. They were there to meet and shake the hand of a man who they obviously love and have been praying for. I heard one lady say that she had been praying for him and his campaign for a long time. And I think he's got a lot of people who are praying for him. I got to ask him a question tonight. I'm real excited about that. But my show tomorrow is going to be all about what happened here tonight. But this program is about a Facebook post that I saw a few days ago on a friend's page he's a city councilman placed to in the city of Reno, Texas. That's northeast a little bit of Dallas. And you know, when I first read the post on his Facebook page, a lot of times you see posts that are have a lot of frustration built into them. You can tell that this is a situation that has happened, and there's a lot of, I know there's more than one side to every story, but I wanted to offer John the opportunity, John Basham, the opportunity to have a platform to talk about what's going on with this post that he made. He basically is saying that the city of Reno, or the mayor in particular, is telling police officers in the police department that they need to write more tickets, or there needs to be more revenue in their department in order to justify keeping on the police officers. And, you know, you talk to any police officer, they'll tell you that you cannot use those sorts of quotas, the traffic offense quotas, in order to promote, evaluate, compensate, or discipline a peace officer. So it's designed so that the motivation to pulling someone over should not be the motivation to make money. It should be a different motivation, to stop crime or to create a safer environment. So what we're talking about is in the code Title VII, Vehicles and Traffic, enforcement of traffic laws, section 720.002, prohibition on traffic offense quotas, a political subdivision or an agency of this state may not establish or maintain formally or informally a plan to evaluate, promote, compensate, or discipline a peace officer, a peace officer according to the officer's issuance of a predetermined or a specified number of any type or combination of types of traffic citations. And also, Section E says under that same vehicles and traffic enforcement of traffic laws, a violation of this section by an elected official is misconduct and a ground for removal from office. A violation of this section by a person who is not an elected official is a ground for removal from the person's position. So I looked on his Facebook page and read some of the comments. He posted a video, which is basically the audio of the mayor, Linda Stokes, and administrator Joe Polino, which this conversation took place a little over a month ago. And it was a formal meeting called by the mayor and the city administrator to inform police officers about the need to increase the amount of money that they bring in with traffic tickets or face being fired. And some people are saying that that the mayor was not giving orders for quotas to increase on the tickets, but was merely reprimanding the officers for not writing tickets and not writing enough tickets. We're going to play the audio here, and I'll let you decide. We'll be right back after this little audio clip here. This is in Reno, Texas, the city manager or city administrator and the mayor talking about talking to the police department about writing tickets.
We're on $8 now, but Wednesday we're going to $12. So the performance level will certainly have to rise during the 12 hours because they're on duty longer. But right now, some of the things that we're looking at are just we're trying to figure out, more, for lack of a better term, how you're spending your time. That's all. And I'll turn it over to the mayor.
One thing we use is the numbers and the court performance. And we're down $80,000 this year, and we have more officers than we've ever had. Now, we went through a stint where we didn't have a couple officers, but then we went through a stint where somebody went, one or two went through the whole month only writing 6 or 10 tickets. And you don't go from writing, you know, 20 in a week to writing 6 in a month. Something's going on, guys, and I really want to tell y'all, I'm not giving you a quota, because I don't believe in that, but I know if you're sitting out on the highway or if you're sitting out on 2257 or, God forbid, on Quail Run, heard about that this week, that, you know, I know they're speeding. I know they're doing it. And everybody's, oh, it's a speed trap. Well, it's only a speed trap if you're speeding, you know, and that's the truth. The thing is, I put a fourth officer on, and we were scraping to put this other officer on, a fourth, fifth officer on. And the only way I'm keeping you guys is if the money keeps up in this department.
And so you can call that clip what you want. To me, it sounds like that last statement there, the only way I'm keeping you guys on is if there's more money out of that department. But she does say, I'm not giving you a quota, because she says that she doesn't believe in giving quotas, but if there's not enough money coming in from the police department, then she's not going to be able to keep as the police officers employed. So you know, it's an interesting situation when you when you're talking about police officers doing their job or not doing their job. You know, if you're going to reprimand a police officer for not doing their job and writing enough tickets, you don't do it. You don't do it by saying that if you're not writing more tickets, there's not going to be money and you're not going to have your job. It should be performance-based. If they're wanting to make performance-based decisions on who they keep and how many police officers they have on staff, then there's a different ways to do that. It's not like this. I in my opinion, I mean, you can hear the frustration. Obviously, the money is way down. The budget is down. So you hear them talking. They want to know what the police officers are doing with their time. If they're not making arrests, then what are they doing? It's not the kind of environment that promotes a cohesive, happy police department. And maybe cities all over have these issues. The fact that there's actual audio of this event, to me, makes it's a little bold of the mayor to be making statements like that. And maybe she feels like she has misspoken, or maybe that I'm not real sure. But all I do know is, to me, that sounds like a threat. Some people say, well, it's not a threat, it's a promise. if there is a mayor in any city using those kind of strong-arm tactics where you have the police department motivated by making arrests so that they can keep their job, how is that serving and protecting the citizens? To me, it's like taking advantage of the citizens, the citizenry. She said that speed traps are only speed traps if you're speeding. And I do agree with that. I do agree with that. And if you're following the speed limit, there's nothing to worry about. There shouldn't be any issues. To ask for more arrests, to ask for more ticketing, is not right. To me, it's a violation. Now, is it enough to get her removed? I'm not so sure about that. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what the next steps are. I'm not even sure if that's what Councilman Basham is trying to achieve. They kind of see him as a little instigator, as a troublemaker, going around looking at things that maybe he doesn't have any business looking at. It's obvious to me that, you know, he comes in, joins the council, probably brings a more conservative style of a mindset for a councilman than maybe they're used to. And he's a potential threat to them. It's kind of how I see it. The way that he's describing the situation is that they're aligning against him, and you know, the good old boy network seems to be alive and well in Reno. Now, I don't know what the next step is. I know they're meeting tonight. Obviously, their meeting has gone late because he has not called in yet. But this show is just to feature this story as to what could potentially be happening. And there's a lot of allegations. He's alleging some illegal activity by the city officials and supervisors. I don't know what's going to come of it. We know that our state races and our county races, these are all partisan. These are all Republican, Democrat, or independent party candidates. But in the city, they're nonpartisan. So you don't vote for Democrats or Republicans typically. You just vote for the individual, and there is no R or D in their column. So for a long time, cities have been run by Democrats or Democrat-minded or liberal-minded governments. They like to apply for grants. They like to get different funds from the government and from the federal government, from the state government, and those types of templates for cities have been popular for a long time, and they do get a lot of money. When new leadership, when new conservative people run for local office and become mayors and city councilmen, they bring conservative ideas, and those ideas smash right up against the liberal progressive movement. And immediately you're on the outside. You're a threat. You're going to find something. You're going to record something. You're going to do something or say something that does not fit with their program. It's a dangerous situation, really. And, anyone who's willing to go and fight against that potential corruption, the abuse of power, the brazen attitude to put it out there like that to the police department. I mean, these guys, police officers, man, that is a thankless job. While I have all the respect in the world for them, they're not paid. they're not paid nearly enough based on the risk that they have to take, the daily threats that they face out there in the real world. And if they are honorable police officers, and I know most of them are, but obviously you see videos of some who are not so honorable, and nobody claims those officers. But if here goes back to this tactic of the threat, to have that looming over your head, makes the citizens more vulnerable and targeted for traffic citations. And I don't think that's what the mayor is supposed to be promoting. Obviously, our legislation is written in a way that understands that this could happen and that this is a potential threat. And they make clear that it is a violation and that, you could lose your position. So this program tonight, like I said, is simply a platform. It's just the beginning of a conversation. It doesn't look like we're going to get to talk to Councilman John Austin Basham tonight. We've got just 10 more minutes in the program. I do want to move on here and talk a little bit about this Ben Carson meeting tonight. So he pulls up. He's got two buses. He's got Secret Service, tons and tons of fans and turnout and supporters. I can say that looking at the number of people, the types of different people, older people, younger people, college students, young kids with their parents, they waited, and they waited for a long time to see him. And when they saw him, there was so much respect. And with as many people as Dr. Carson had to, but got to meet, he was courteous, friendly. He shook everyone's hand who came through. And, although it was fast, you could tell that he was genuinely happy to be here in Waco, Texas. And, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow in tomorrow's program. Tonight, I think we're going to cut it short. We didn't get our call from John Basham, so I'm not going to just keep rambling about this. We may get someone on the opposing side decide to call in. More than welcome to do that. Call in. We can schedule an interview with you as well. So my name's Duke Machado. You've been listening to the Duke Machado Show, and you can catch us every weeknight, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Find me on Facebook, The Duke Machado Show, and like that page. We need a bunch of likes. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Duke Machado 1. It's just the number 1. Keep tuned into this program. Click the follow button on my Blog Talk Radio. That's what I really need. Build up those follows. And again, Thursday, we're going to be speaking with David Wallaloo. He's a professor at McLennan College. He's a writer, blogger, and has a lot of insight on foreign policy. He'll be joining us Thursday for another discussion on, I believe we're going to talk foreign policy. So look forward to talking to you guys again tomorrow night. My name's Duke Machado, and I'm out of here.